Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
All right, welcome back, my friends, to Podcast 9 of 2019. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet me at The Public Dog, and you can tweet us at The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by MyBookie.ag. For a 50% first-time sign-up bonus, please visit MyBookie and use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs, sponsor us, we would love to help you out. Please visit TheOddsBreakers.com and become a member for $12.99 a month. You can become a member, and we will give you our picks and premium picks before the line moves. For $2 more, you can become a patron subscriber. Sometimes you get the podcast a little early. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com to become a free picks newsletter subscriber. There's been a lot of great content posted up at theoddsbreakers.com. A couple of our handicappers are on a roll. If you are a handicapper and would like to do some freelance free picks and some write-ups for the website, especially when it comes to baseball coming up or anything really, please visit theoddsbreakers.com, hit contact us, or find us on Twitter at theoddsbreakers. We'd love to hear from you. We have a jam-packed show for you today covering some huge college basketball games for the weekend. My man Kyle Hunter is back from Hunter Sports Picks to discuss some key matchups. He's going to give you some information on some teams that might be a good buy or a good sell, talk about a little coaches. You're going to get a lot of information from this interview. We also have my man Dan Everett talk a little bit about the Big East at the end. He had just a few minutes to talk to us. But first, I am going to go into the Big Ten rankings, and there has been some changes here at the top. Michigan State, what has happened? Losing three in a row, losing to Illinois. Yes, you have been demoted. Purdue is the number one team in the Big Ten right now, and they absolutely deserve it. They've taken care of business. Their non-conference wasn't nearly as good as what they've done already in the Big Ten, but I have to give them a top ranking right now. They beat Michigan State, took care of business against Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Minnesota, Penn State. You know, besides that Tuesday in January 8th against Michigan State, they haven't lost a Big Ten game since Michigan on December 1st, but they have a very easy schedule out. And Iowa is definitely had to move up to the top, in my opinion. Now, are they vulnerable? Yeah, absolutely. They're a little bit vulnerable. But right now, Purdue is the best Big Ten team in my ratings. Michigan State is second, and with a close third, I have Michigan. This could all change because there's going to be some big games next week between the Wisconsins, the Michigans, and the Michigan State. Wisconsin's facing them both. Wisconsin just took care of business against Maryland. So Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, then Wisconsin's fourth. Maryland is fifth. Iowa is sixth. Minnesota is seventh. They're trending up for sure. Indiana is eighth. They also upset Michigan State. Nebraska is ninth. They had that huge injury losing Isaac Copeland. Ohio State is 10th. Illinois is 11th. No longer dead last or second to last. Illinois with Brad Underwood. Trent Frazier has been balling. Northwestern is 12th. They've kind of been free-falling lately. Penn State is 13th.
and Rutgers brings out the bomb at 14th. But Rutgers is actually doing a lot better lately too. They've been having some upsets. They upset Penn State, and I considered moving them ahead of Penn State, and then Penn State beat Northwestern. So the truth is that with Nebraska's injury, I think Nebraska, Ohio State, Illinois, Northwestern, Penn State, and Rutgers are all kind of bunched up. The next tier is Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa. And then the next tier is Maryland, Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue's probably is slightly above them. So, you know, it's kind of, that's how you break down the Big Ten. And, you know, it's going to be a fun finish this February up until the Big Ten tournament. All right. Well, let's move on to our first guest, Mr. Kyle Hunter from HunterSportsPicks.com. Now I'd like to welcome back a fantastic handicapper and college basketball specialist, Mr. Kyle Hunter of HunterSportsPicks.com. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at KyleHunterPicks. How you doing this week, Kyle?
I'm doing well, man. You know, this is February here, only 1 month till March Madness, and that's always my favorite time of the year.
Oh, now that football's over, you know that everyone's getting on the college basketball plays, and you can definitely see a lot more interest coming in as well for that. But that gets me excited because college basketball, I don't even know if it's not my favorite sport. I mean, I love college football, but college basketball, March Madness, you can't beat March Madness, you know. And now people are trying to, you know, sports betting's becoming more legal in more places. People are starting to care more. People want to sound like experts. People listen to podcasts, and people definitely want to see, learn a lot more about it. I found the education side has really been growing. So that's been really cool and great for the site too, you know, and probably great for, you as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to have, first of all, you know, with more people being able to bet and it be legalized, I mean, it's really the right thing to do. So that's the biggest thing for me, is that, you know, the how it's been for so many years just didn't make any sense. So you know, I'm happy that is kind of the ball is rolling at least. And, you know, from my end, I like more interest in college basketball because, like, kind of like you just said, college football and college basketball are basically tied for my favorite sport. You know, if you're in college football season, I might say college football is my favorite. If we're in college basketball, I might say college basketball is my favorite. It's just, I love both those. You know, bowl season's great, college football. March Madness, I would say, is my single favorite time of the year. So, you know, we're starting to get to the nitty gritty now, and these games mean quite a bit to these teams now in college basketball.
Oh, absolutely. Here it is, just rolling. February's here. One more month until March Madness. There's going to be a lot of attention played for these games this Saturday. And I can't wait to talk to a few of those games with you. But first, I want to talk a little bit about coaches here. You know, I want to talk about some coaches that have impressed you this year that you might have upgraded. Maybe, you know, buy stock on these coaches. And is there any coaches you want to sell the stock on? Are there any surprises out there?
Sure. Let's start with the positive side. I've got three here in my notes that I talk about that, you know, I think they've done a lot better than I would have expected, or they're just consistent. I'm going to start off with Mike Hopkins from Washington. You know, the Pac-12 is terrible. You know that. Everybody knows that. I mean, it's hard to find a good team in the Pac-12 this year, but I really like the job that Hopkins has done. I know people knew that he did a good job last year, but I think his consistency there at Washington is pretty impressive. I love that matchup zone. This team plays really hard, go for all the loose balls. They're not really good on offense, and yet they still find a way to win a lot of games. They're a tough matchup. You know, we've seen this every year with Syracuse. You know, if Syracuse gets in the NCAA tournament as one of the last teams in, nobody really wants to play them. And right. I think Washington's one of those teams that would kind of be the same way. It's just a tricky team to play against because of the differences. We see that in college football as well, that, you know, teams that play a different style can be pretty tricky.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Mike Hopkins is actually one of mine as well that I wrote down for this. So you stole my thunder a little bit,
nice.
But I appreciate that. I love the agreement there. Who else you like?
I've got a couple others, and these are from kind of the mid-major teams. So I'm going to say Steve Forbes from East Tennessee State, the SoCon. I got to give some love to the Southern Conference here. I really like the job that he's been doing consistently, putting his team in a great position year after year, despite losing a lot of talent. You know, I'm very impressed. This is a team that every year people think they're not going to be quite as good as the year before. This year, they lost quite a bit from last season, and look how well they've been playing here this year at East Tennessee State. I think that Steve Forbes will probably have a bigger job coming here pretty soon. And then one more I wanted to mention, Craig Smith at Utah State. This guy did a really good job at South Dakota. First year at Utah State, this team was 17-17 last year. They didn't have a lot of guys back from last year, and here they are at 18-5 this season. I would say that if I had to pick one coach that's really moved up a lot in my mind, it would be Craig Smith.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. It's some off the radar ones. And you might be able to find some value on those teams as well going forward. You know, a couple of real obvious ones. And everyone knows about Mark Few from Gonzaga, but the guy, he does not cease to impress me. I'm serious. They are the Duke of the West Coast. The only thing that's missing is them playing in the tough division. And that's why they're so hard coming into the tournament, because you're like, well, they're not used to playing a good team. They might get bounced. People try to pencil them out and bounce them out, and nope, they get up there past the Sweet 16 most of the time. It's just, I mean, the guy should be paid a max contract type of Power 5 money, you know, and I don't know what he's making now, but I just can't. I'm just so impressed with him. Nevada, Eric Musselman, you know, that guy, for what he did to recruit this year, a couple of those guys stayed this year. They're going to be another one that I'm going to have a hard time taking out of my bracket. You know, how am I going to pencil Nevada out? I don't know. You know, those are some two really, really good coaches there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that Mark Few is just proving himself more and more every year. I think Gonzaga is a team that also loses a ton every year, and yet they're still right there at the top. And I mean, that's the sign of an elite coach. And, you know, if you think about who are the best coaches in the country, you couldn't say many names before you say Mark Few. I mean, if you did, you'd be making a mistake, because tremendous job he's done there. I think the Gonzaga is also a pretty easy team to root for, because they're not that big of a school, and here they are having that much success.
Absolutely, absolutely. Matt Painter is another one from Purdue. And they were my fade team going in, and I'm supposed to be the Big Ten specialist guy, right? And now they, you know, they've proven me wrong in my pocketbook a couple times this year, and they're just an amazing three-point shooter. The way they shoot threes makes me think of Golden State and Carson Edwards, man. That guy is just a winner. I'm very impressed with Matt Painter this year. I thought he's blown away my expectations, at least. Brad Underwood from Illinois is on a recency bias. This guy's been upsetting some very big teams there, and I think it's only up for Illinois right now. Bobby Hurley from ASU, he's really got that program back on track. Nate Oates from Buffalo, you know, they're still really good against the spread, even though they beat Arizona last year in the tournament. Somehow they're still kind of under the radar, which surprises me. And Casey Alexander from Lipscomb, right? This team's been on a tear. They went into Liberty and really took care of business against the other top team in their division.
Yeah, I mean, if Casey Alexander doesn't have another job pretty soon, I'd be really surprised. I think he has to be one that, you know, if you have an opening in a big school, why wouldn't you give that guy a chance? He's done a tremendous job there at Lipscomb.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move into the stock that's getting a little bit lower. And I know, you know, we don't like to throw mud. Some of these coaches might even, I have a couple of them. Some of them might even just be having a bad year. But are there any thoughts on some coaches that might be losing some value?
Yeah, I've got a couple of year. I had three of the upside, two of the downside. I like to try to be optimistic. So we'll say a couple here for the downside. First of all, Frank Haith from Tulsa. Now, I'm not saying anybody really thought he was a great coach to start with, but if you look at the AAC this year, it's not good. You know, this is not a good conference at all. Tulsa has an experienced team, too, and they just aren't doing much at all with it. I have to think that, you know, you consider him a disappointment, considering that they recruit fairly well there at Tulsa. And, you know, you have a conference that's way down. You don't have teams at the top that are dominating the AAC by any means. So I feel like this is a opportunity for Frank Haith. And then the other one I have, and this guy, I'm going to say there's a difference here because I really don't think Frank Haith is a very good coach, but Mike White at Florida. I still think White's a good coach, but I have to say he's disappointing this year. This Florida team should be better than they are. I don't really know what's wrong with this team. 12-10, I mean, likely outside the NCAA tournament unless they could certainly turn it around and get the NCAA tournament, but if it started today, they'd be in trouble. Florida, way too talented to be only be 12-10. So he has disappointed me at least this year.
Yeah, I agree there. Florida, their shooting percentage seems to be really bad. Love their defense. They have a slower pace of play, but when they step up against the big boys, they get rocked. So I definitely see what you're saying there. But mine are, I have Frank Martin from South Carolina. He, I mean, and only because he was looked at so highly the last couple of years. And now if you look at this team and how they turn the ball over, making dumb mistakes at the end, they don't really seem to get in a rhythm. I liked Frank Martin 2 years ago. Now I'm downgrading him a little bit, you know, and I think my stock's lowered on him. And so concerned there a little bit. Pat Chambers, I expected more out of this Penn State team. There's some consistency from last year. I believe they won the NIT last year. I expected them to get in the tournament, and I don't think that's going to happen now. You know, that was another team that I was pretty high on, Pat Chambers. Two coaches that I'm not going to say are bad but are having bad years are Bob Huggins from West Virginia. Really bad this year. And Greg Marshall from Wichita State has kind of taken a bath.
Yeah, I think the specific ones that I would agree on the most, Greg Marshall, Wichita State. I mean, I think it's understandable that they take a little bit of a step back, but you know, this is a bigger step back than most people thought it would be for Wichita State. You know, as far as Frank Martin, I'd say I'm a little bit more neutral on him. I think that, you know, South Carolina has improved a little bit here lately, and I think that, you know, the SEC is better than it used to be. So I don't know that he has elite talent. So I'll not necessarily say I'm high on him, but at the same time, I'm going to kind of stay neutral. Huggins, you know, obviously he's a good coach. Everybody knows that. But, you know, West Virginia, the way they've gotten blown out in some of these games is what bothers me. You know, this is a team that's pulled a couple big upsets, and yet here they are just getting run off the court in some of the other games. And I think that surprises me the most in that, you know, not are they just failing to cover the spread or failing to win the game. They're just getting blown now.
Yes. And you know, when they beat Kansas, we should have saw that it was a fade time for that team because Kansas was way down this year. And I think they're 1-5 or 1-4 or something against the spread as an away team. West Virginia beats them. People are, you know, buying West Virginia. That was a mistake if people did that. So no, Bob Huggins is definitely a great coach, and I guess my point was, I think I expected a little bit more out of West Virginia this year. So
I agree.
Moving on, let's go into some teams here that you think might have some value from an against the spread betting perspective, or even totals. Who are some buy low teams right now?
By low, I'm going to take Eastern Michigan. This team played a really good non-conference schedule. Look, not many teams from the MAC play a really, really tough non-conference schedule. I know Eastern Michigan played a top five non-conference schedule in the country. They're also a tough matchup with their zone defense and their height. It's a tall team, a lot of length. They play the Syracuse-style defense as well. They're not as good at it as Syracuse or as Washington, but they play that same style of defense in the matchup zone. I think that's a tricky matchup, and I think when you've played as many good teams as they have in the non-conference, you're a dangerous team. And then the other one I have is a buy-low team, Rider. This is way under the radar in the MAAC. I think Rider's the most talented team in the MAAC, and I don't think it's even close. 6-16 ATS so far this year. You want to look for these teams that haven't done very well ATS so far this season that you think are really quality teams, because I think that a lot of people look for the teams that are, you know, struggling ATS and just kind of blanket statements say, well, I'll take the team that's, 6-16, 5-17, whatever it is, ATS, they have to be better than this. Some of these teams start packing it in this time of the year. You know, you don't want a team that's just decided that they want to wait for next year, or they're ready to be done with this. February is about the time of the year. It's getting close to the end of the season for some of these smaller schools. I think that Rider, a team that's competing for the championship in the MAAC, is a team that definitely is not going to be giving up. So 6-16 ATS and the most talented team in the league, I think they're undervalued right now.
Nice. I love that under the radar ones. That's exactly where people need to be listening to find that value. And, you know, a couple of them that I have Michigan State. You know, they lost three in a row. What's strange about this team is, you know, when Langford was listed as out but not announced that he's out for the season, they're moving on and crushing teams like normal. Then all of a sudden they announce him out for the season. He hasn't played in weeks, and then they just completely free fall, losing to Illinois. I thought that was very strange. They do play Minnesota next, and I believe they get him at home. What sucks for me is I'm kind of high on Minnesota too this year. I think they're rebounding fantastic, but you know, Michigan State's definitely after the Minnesota, and depending upon what Wisconsin does at Michigan, would be a buy low team for me. And you know, definitely people are going to be scared to bet them now after that three game skid. So I'm definitely going to be eyeing up Michigan State, possibly be betting them the next two games. Colorado's another team that's kind of been impressing me a little bit. You know, they didn't start out too well, and now they're just you know, beating big teams. They just took care of business against Oregon at home. Well, I don't think Oregon showed up for that game, but you know, they're off of a short week. But you know, Colorado kind of seemed to impress me a little bit there, and then they go to UCLA and just continued that momentum and stomped them by 11 points last night. So Colorado could be a good buy low team for me. And the other one I have is Missouri. I think Missouri's, you throw them in there, they're a little bit better than what their record has stated. They have a couple surprise victories in their, in their actual schedule here. I'm pulling it up right now. You know, I think ATS, I like, you know, teams that are way undervalued like them. And, you know, they play in a very tough division. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, you know, the SEC is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, they held their own against Tennessee, lost by 12. They crushed Vanderbilt at home. I think you might get some value against Texas A&M and Arkansas in their next couple games there.
Yeah, I think that Missouri also, they had that one really tough loss against LSU, if I remember correctly, where they were winning that game almost the entire way and then somehow find a way to lose it. And Missouri is better than a lot of people think they are. And I don't think either one of us is saying that Missouri is necessarily a great team. It's just that people might be so low on them. And then the other one I wanted to say that you just said, Michigan State. I mean, don't count out Tom Izzo. You know, some people can really overreact to recent results. And I'm not saying that I necessarily think that Michigan State's, you know, a top three team in the country or anything, but they're certainly not the team we've seen the last few games. So let's see if the odds makers react too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad you agree with that one. We'll be looking at their lines and see how the public bets them when they come out for the next couple games here. Sell high teams. Who are we going to lose our asses on the next couple of days?
Well, I have Hawaii listed. Hawaii is a team that does not play very many road games. They stay in Hawaii and play a lot of their non-conference slate there in Hawaii. They have not been a good road team in the past. They're 12-7 ATS so far this year. I really think regression's coming for them as far as an ATS standpoint. They weren't expected to be a very good team. I think they have a pretty good head coach there, the guy that used to be an assistant at St. Mary's. But Hawaii, this is not going to be a good scheduling portion of the schedule for them. I think that this is a Hawaii team that has failed some tests against their best opponents. Sure, they pulled off a couple nice wins at home, but it's a lot tougher when you have to go on the road, especially when you're flying that far. So I think Hawaii is a team that is a good sell high at this point. The other one I want to say, and I'm going to preface this by saying I don't think this team's a bad team. I just think that the price is awfully high on them. North Carolina. 14-6-2 ATS so far this year. The thing that stands out the most to me when I look at North Carolina is they're turning the basketball over a lot this year. Wow. This is a team that's usually really valued the basketball a lot in the past couple seasons. In the ACC, a 19% turnover rate. You know, the best teams are not going to be turning the basketball over at almost 20%. So to me, this is a North Carolina team that's too inconsistent for my liking. If you're an inconsistent team and you're 14-6-2 ATS, then I'm going to think I should sell high on you.
Yeah, North Carolina's a big one right there, man. I'm impressed. they get through. They still have to face Duke twice. They still have to face Virginia at home. You know, Syracuse, Clemson out there, Florida State. They're going to come into a really tough part of their schedule there too. And there's a couple. There's a couple sandwich spots for between Virginia and Duke. They have to go away to Wake Forest. If Wake Forest puts up an effort like they did against Pittsburgh the other night, I could see them covering that 18-20 point big spread. You know, so that's one to think about on Sunday here. Well, it's next Sunday. Wake Forest game against North Carolina. That's a nice sandwich place to definitely circle there. Couple of mine, Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma was killing it for a while against the spread, and now I'm just not so sure. They did lose the last three games in a row. I think they had a shot last game to make a statement against Iowa State, and they kind of choked that one away. I don't see how they can get up on Saturday at home against Texas Tech after that thing. Texas Tech's going to be motivated to continue on. They beat West Virginia, then they had that loss to Kansas. So Oklahoma is not anybody that I want to bet on. Not necessarily going to bet against them, but definitely don't want to be on Oklahoma. Ole Miss started out great this year, and you saw them. They're starting to kind of show their true colors, I think. Ole Miss was a team that was an ATS darling about 2-3 weeks ago. That's one team that I definitely do not want to be on when they're getting to the tough part of their schedule. LSU, LSU is not surprising people anymore, I think. I think LSU was awesome. Just people would kind of, go into LSU, just kind of think it's the same old LSU, and they've been taking care of business. They play fast. They have great depth. But I'm not going to necessarily, after what they've been doing, I think there's possibly more value to fade some of them. They play a tough Auburn team coming up this Saturday, and then they have Kentucky coming up. So boom, boom right there. And the last one that I think that was a little bit overvalued is Oregon State. I think Oregon State kind of flew under the radar in the Pac-12 as well, and I think they'd be a possible fade team for me.
Yeah, I like Oregon State as one there also. I think that they're an improved team, but maybe not as improved as they look like they are right now. They don't have that many scoring options. I know they have a couple good first options, especially the coach's son, Tinkle. But, to me, Oregon State, not a very deep team. And in the long run, that's a concerning sign. The other one that you said that was definitely one that I considered was Ole Miss. Ole Miss is an improved team as well, but the price has gotten too high on them. Everybody saw what they were doing and, just covering spreads consistently. If you're a fairly big name team and you're covering the spread that high of a rate, you're going to get overvalued. And I think they're overvalued right now also.
Awesome. Well, let's move on then to do you have any sleeper teams here that you think could make the tournament so you can make some money off of that ticket? Stuff that's got, maybe over 80-1 value, or somebody that just has value at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say Utah State, the team that I mentioned with Craig Smith earlier. Now, this is a really long shot. I don't even know what the odds are on them right now. I don't even know if they do have odds listed for Utah State. But I think they're an under-the-radar team that's a lot better than people think they are. The Mountain West is not a very good league. It doesn't get the kind of coverage it did a few years ago when there were quite a few good teams in the league. But I mean, Utah State might make the tournament. It's at least a possibility. I mean, if you look at the bubble right now, there's a lot of weak teams on the bubble. So if you finish the season strong in a mid-major, you have a chance. And I mean, I don't want to get on any kind of rant. I know the NCAA doesn't really like putting mid-majors in, or if they do, they'll put them in a bad spot to try to, make it hard for them to win very long. But I think that, Utah State is one of those teams that most people wouldn't even think of that I think at least has a chance of making the NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, I see them at 500-1. So definitely not bad to put some lunch money on that, and right. It's something that you don't even care about losing because they most likely wouldn't make it, but you can surely make some money off that ticket once they get in. So I really like that one. Mine are, I have Lipscomb. I think they, like you said before we started recording, this team could get in as an at-large even, you know, even if they don't win their conference tournament. They've been on a fire lately, you know, and there was one of my favorite coaches to buy stock on over there with Casey Alexander. So I think Lipscomb, if you can find some odds on them, you definitely have a great shot there and making money off that ticket. The other one I have is Purdue. The strange thing is you look at most books and you see Michigan State being, you know, more favorited, I guess the higher favorite to make the NCAA tournament or to win it. You know, Michigan State's hovering around 15-1, 18-1, something like that. But then you have Purdue that I've seen at 25-1, 33-1, and someone sent me a message the other day showing them at 75-1. If you look at who Purdue has to play left, they're going to be favored in every single game that they have, you know, and because they already went through the gauntlet of their schedule. They played Wisconsin, you know, they played Michigan State twice, you know, they took care of business. And now Purdue, it only has one top 25 team left, and that's at Maryland. So from a scheduling perspective, they're going to have a higher seed, unless something crazy happens, than Michigan State coming in the tournament. When you have Michigan State that still has to play Wisconsin, Michigan twice, and you know, some other tough teams like Minnesota, Indiana again, Nebraska. I definitely like, from a value perspective, Purdue right there.
I can't argue with Purdue. I mean, I'd say if you were going to play devil's advocate here, you'd say that Matt Painter hadn't had much success in the NCAA tournament. And that's true. I mean, you know, but this Purdue team got undervalued here when they were, you know, off to a slow start this season. They played a really tough schedule during that time. And Purdue has that leader in Edwards that you really need in March. So while I don't think Purdue will win at all, and I don't think you do necessarily either, it's one of those where you probably have some value on the price.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some value there. They're the type of team that can beat the get big guys inside if they can hit their threes. They've been crazy hitting those threes, you know, and sometimes, you know, as you've seen in some of the big teams get upset, it's if the other team's just hitting their 3-point shots off the screen, you know, off the pick. That's huge. And I think Purdue has that ability. Like if they played a team like Kentucky, I'd be a little concerned for Kentucky defending the three, you know, against a team like Purdue. So that's why I definitely like their value there. And I like their seed. I see a 2 seed, maybe a 3, but just with their schedule and what they have left being in a top ranked team right now, I see them kind of walking into the tournament with a pretty high seed right there. Well, let's get into some games, shall we, Kyle?
Sounds good.
MAC conference we have. Let's start with Friday here. And not a huge slate of Power 5 games on Friday. Most of them are Saturday and Sunday. But, you know, we definitely want our listeners to have some action if they can. And I want to talk a little bit about Kent State versus Akron. According to KenPom, Akron's going to be laying about 6, a total of, I think, about 134. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say about this is, you know, being from Ohio and being in Ohio, it's well known that these two teams don't like each other at all. This is a massive rivalry game. Very, very heated game. We've seen some really strange things happen in this rivalry game in college basketball in the past. I have to say, I would not lay the points in this game. I'm not necessarily saying I would take Kent State, but I wouldn't want to lay 6 points with Akron. Main reason being it's been so inconsistent on what happens in this rivalry game. And number two is I kind of like the under in this game. So if you like the under some, I think the number might come out a little bit higher than what KenPom has at 134. That's his projection. I think you probably will be able to get a little higher than that. We'll see. If it does get much higher than that, that'll be one that I consider. Akron's defense has been really good this year, and they slowed the pace down. Kent State, kind of middle of the line as far as, you know, what they do, whether they're running or playing slowly. I think Akron can control the tempo in a game like this, but I think this is going to be a close game. So like I said, I wouldn't want to lay the points. I think there's a lot of different things that could happen in this game, and it wouldn't surprise me. Having said that, I think that since Akron's such a good team on defense, I mean, They're 33rd in defensive efficiency in the country, and they're 242nd in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom. This is an Akron team that, you know, shoots 30.8% from three-point range. They're not very good at shooting, but they're good at defending. I think that we'll see some solid defense in this game. Like I said, I wouldn't want to lay the points. If you look at Kent State has been, you know, up and down. They won at Oregon State, 66-63. That's a good win, you know, for a MAC team to go to Oregon in what was their break right at finals time, right after finals before Christmas. I think that's a pretty impressive win. So Kent State to be able to do that, impressive. But at the same time, then they lose some games that you wouldn't think that they would lose. You know, they lose at home to Liberty. Now, Liberty's a good team. So it turns out that 7-point loss at home wasn't really that bad. But I think that both of these teams are fairly decent teams from the MAC. I wouldn't want to lay the points. And I do think that when you get in a rivalry game like this, you have to lean toward the under, because as the game means more to players, you usually see better defense.
And they want to make less mistakes, so they're not necessarily right. running crazy. No, I absolutely get what you're saying there. That makes total sense. You know, Akron has that had a pretty bad loss last game against Toledo. They only scored 52 points here. Maybe they're looking ahead to this game. I don't know. But it kind of goes within the system. 28% from field goal percentage. Now, like you said, they're still a terrible shooting team, but they shoot 43% at home. Kent State shoots about 40.6%. As a system play, you know, you want to back Akron going home, only shooting 28%. But six is a big number for this, like you said. I think I'm going to wait and see if I can get under five. If I can get under five, I might have a small play on Akron. But I think you might be more right looking at the under right there. So love what you're saying there. Let's go to the MAAC conference here, my man. I think you know a lot about this one too. Not the greatest conference out there, but I love this game because this is just so up your alley. You know, you love the totals. You have Siena versus Manhattan. Manhattan's plus one. Your total is probably going to be about 113 points, one of the lowest totals of the year, I'm sure. You know, Manhattan, what can you say? I think they did beat Rider their last game. What kind of thoughts do you have on this one?
You know, I think that first of all, when you sent me this game, the first thing I thought of right away is a few games ago, I had Manhattan an over, you know, trying to play a low over. It was like 120 or something like that. I think it was against Monmouth back on January 12th. I watched almost the entire game, and it was a really ugly game, just about as bad a game as you could ever see. I would say that when you watch MAC basketball, MAAC basketball, you see a Manhattan game, you already know what's going to happen. They're going to turn it over back and forth. You know, it's going to be Manhattan's second worst in the country at taking care of the basketball. Almost 26% of their possessions end in a turnover. Gosh, that would be, be so just awful. I mean, the best teams are, you know, 13, 14, 15%. And, you know, you double that turnover rate, you can see a big difference. And then they're also forcing turnovers at the third highest rate of anybody. So you're going to see a lot of throw the ball away, go back the other way, throw it away again. Usually that has a lot to do with why a total would be so low, because you're wasting possessions. You're playing slowly and you're wasting possessions. So you have two teams here who really want to play slow. Manhattan, 341st in the country in overall tempo. Siena, 352nd. There's 353 teams. So, I mean, this is going to be very, very slow. I have to say, you know, this is one of those where I don't like taking really low unders, but there's no way I could take the over in this game. It just can't happen. Siena, lately, I did want to point out that Jamion Christian, I think he's doing a pretty good job with this team. This is a team that is very young. They have a lot of height, a lot of length. I believe they're the tallest team in the conference. Jalen Pickett, a very good freshman for this team, and he's been extremely good here of late. Very good with the assists, getting a lot of steals. Shoots 36.5% from three-point range. You know, Jalen Pickett is a good leader for this team. If I had to take a side in this game, I would probably take Siena. The thing that worries me a little bit here is, you know, they already beat them once. And revenge can be a pretty strong angle in college basketball. So, you know, what's the line going to be here? Probably, you know, Siena favored by a point or so. And the total, I mean, when you see a 113, usually it gets bet up and it's a little above that, you know, it'll be 115 or 114 and a half or something like that. Like I said, I could not take the over. There's no way. Going to be so slow. Siena's first in the conference in defensive efficiency, only giving up 0.942 points per possession. This is not a game that I would suggest watching, but let's see if we can get some betting value.
If you bet the over, please don't watch this game. It's going to frustrate the hell out of you. Like you said, Manhattan's going to turn the ball over and Siena's going to miss the layup. You know, this is exactly the kind of game that you're looking at. The only slower team than Siena is Virginia. You know, right. it's the epitome of slow. But then again, I mean, is everyone going to see that and bet this thing down? But I think the only way you could watch this game is bet the under, because then you can kind of smile when you see how bad a basketball this thing really is. Siena is 8-3 against the spread as an away team. You got to like that. Manhattan's 5-5 at home, looking for revenge. Somehow Manhattan won their last three games in a row. You know, and like I said with Ryder, that was a little surprising to me. And because of this, they might make it four in a row here. You know, I don't want to pick a side in this, but these teams played already. You know, and the score was 50-43. The thing went to 93 points. You know, so Manhattan, they even play a little bit slower in conference by one possession per game, and by a second more for average possession length. So. I have this game Siena 56-55, so I think that's going to say under. But I think the only way I want to watch this game is betting the under, and I think I might just have to auto bet it because of how slow these teams play. I think you'd be pretty proud of yourself if you bet the under on such a low total and hit it there. Nothing big, of course, but yeah, I had to throw this game out there because I know how much you love totals, Kyle. Let's move into Saturday's slate, my man. My Badgers, my favorite team, my alma mater, is playing Michigan. Michigan's probably going to be laying about 5 points. Total's going to be around 119. We have to guess the spreads, of course, when it comes to these earlier podcasts. Michigan looking for revenge, my man. What do you think about this?
You know, I'm interested to hear your take on this one, too. I know you're a big Wisconsin guy. You know, hey, I think Michigan is the team that has a higher upside, you know, the team that has the bigger chance to win the whole thing if you get in the big dance. You know, obviously, I'm an Ohio State fan, so I don't really like Michigan very much. But, you know, I think Michigan's a really good team, and John Beilein, a tremendous coach. I think he is still probably underrated, to be honest with you. Michigan, though. You know, a couple slip ups there, losing that game to Wisconsin, which, you know, that's no losing at Wisconsin is not anything to be ashamed of. I was surprised that they lost the way they did at Iowa. You know, 15-point loss to Iowa was a pretty bad performance from them. You know, I think the lean that I would have in this game would probably be the under. You know, we'll see if we can get, you know, maybe 122 or 123. I see KenPom has 119. I assume it'll be a little bit higher than that. I would lean toward the under. The first game they played 64-54, and I believe there was a little bit of fouling there at the end of that game. So I think that, you know, Michigan would be my lean if I had to take a side here, but I'm almost sure I will not bet this game from a side standpoint. Lean to the under, although I will say I really think that I just want to watch this game as a fan more than anything else.
Absolutely. You know, and I did already cap this game against when they played Wisconsin. Was successful because I did have the Badgers side on it, given with the Wolverines their first loss. But Wisconsin is a very good road team. They're 6-3 against the spread on the road. Michigan is 6-8 at home. Nothing great, nothing to write home about. You have to see this is a huge revenge spot, right? Michigan remembers very well their first loss. You know, who handed it to them? The Badgers. They have a terrible shooting percentage that game. Yeah, but from a metric standpoint, you know, I like how Wisconsin's pack line defense matches up against the Wolverines, because the Wolverines are more of a dribble drive type team. They do not shoot the ball well, 35% from three. You know, that the way to beat Michigan is to force them to shoot, you know, force Simpson to shoot, you know, if you can kind of pack your team into that painted area, you have a better shot against them. Ethan Happ's a mismatch for anybody, really, but he was a mismatch for John Teske. No Mo Wagner like we had last year, right? And Teske had to learn a little bit last time. My question is, how motivated will Wisconsin be? They just beat their rival, Minnesota, in a revenge spot away, yep. And they got the revenge. And then they already beat Michigan once, and then they have Michigan State on the road, you know, or at home. When they coming back after this game, it's kind of a little sandwich spot for them. And it's a wounded Michigan State team, right? So I can't bet Wisconsin necessarily like this in a sandwich spot. There's a simple formula to beat Wisconsin, and it's not just hack a Happ. It's get Happ in foul trouble. When Happ's in foul trouble, that inside presence is gone because guys like Nate Ravers, he's thin. He gets pushed around. Wisconsin's one of the worst rebounding teams out there. If you look in KenPom, they rank like 320th in offensive rebounds. You know, they don't have to rebound if they're hitting the three, but get Happ out of that game, you're going to win inside no matter what. So I do not want to bet Wisconsin here, but I do like how they match up. But on the other side, I do like the under. I absolutely do. And I'd like it down to about 116 points because, you know, Wisconsin's defense should travel. I don't think their shooting is going to travel that well. I think Michigan's going to be motivated to beat this team. But definitely looking at Wisconsin under 119 points here.
I think you'll probably get 120 or a little bit better, at least at some point. I don't know what the public will do, but usually these lines that have a really low total with, you know, a place like KenPom, they usually come in a little higher than that because most people want to bet the over. They see that low of a number and they think, well, obviously they're going to score that many points. So I think that you'll probably get a better number than that. And I want to say before we move on to Ethan Happ is a ton of fun to watch. I mean, he is a tremendous player. I really like that, you know, he's the old school big guy, not the, you know, step out and shoot a three all the time. And not that I have anything wrong with the guy that can step out and shoot a three all the time. It's just fun to get to watch somebody like Ethan Happ, who's tremendous in the post, fundamental player, you know, kind of, I'm certainly not trying to say he's as good as him, but it kind of reminds me of like a Tim Duncan, you know, that kind of version of, you know, passing out of the post, the hook shot, you know, moves like that. Ethan Happ is not Tim Duncan. So don't send me a message saying, you know, Tim Duncan's way better than Ethan Happ. I know that. But yeah. Ethan Happ is a tremendous player, a lot of fun to watch, and I think it'll be hard for Wisconsin when they have to replace him.
His pivot skills are amazing. His reverse layups and get people going in the wrong direction. There's nothing like it. Just like you said, great analogy with Tim Duncan. The problem is that Happ does not have a free throw or a baseline shot. He doesn't have any shot without hitting the backboard, really. And you know, that's going to hurt him when it comes to draft day. But you're right, Wisconsin, the way they've been recruiting the last 2 years under guard, I'm extremely concerned losing a guy like Happ. But, you know, if some of those big guys that they have in red shirts step up, you know, we'll see is the question. But I'm not holding my breath for the future. Hope I'm wrong. Let's move into the SEC. Another huge game. Kentucky versus Mississippi State. Mississippi State +2. The over-under is at 142. I'll start, actually, on this one here. Kentucky, 5-1 against the spread on the road, 13-9 overall. Do you have any guesses why they're so good against the spread? Because I do.
Well, Kentucky's playing great defense. I mean, they're easily first in this league in defensive efficiency. Kentucky has really impressed me a lot. Very improved team from the beginning of the season to now. I think they're one of the most improved teams in the country. I mean, and I know it sounds funny to say it's Kentucky, but I mean, we saw the first game when they lost 118-84 to Duke.
That was my whole theory right there, Kyle. Yep. I think that they're still riding that whole idea of that meaningless Duke game. And getting blown out. It was just, you look back and you're like, man, I wish I bet Kentucky just blindly every single game after that, right? It makes so much sense in hindsight, you know? And I try to find Kentucky on a flat spot and I got burned, you know? And it's hard to predict that with them, but they're a force this year. Mississippi State is 8-10 against the spread overall, 6-6 at home. Kentucky, their last seven games is 7-0 against the spread. And it's just like how you said, their defense, Reed Travis and PJ Washington are just
such a dual force inside, you know. If there's any better force, it would have to be Zion and Barrett, right? But jeez, those guys are beasts. And the only way to beat Kentucky, in my opinion, is to be able to hit the three on a consistent basis, because they don't step out there. You saw Kansas kind of eke back in that game a little bit because they're nailing that three. They don't guard the perimeter as much. They're kind of a pack line themselves on defense. Mississippi State ranks only 60th out of the 353 teams in three-point percentage, and that's not enough. Okay, they're coming off an overtime game against LSU where they had the lead, but they have bad depth and they choked it away on Wednesday. I do not see how they can bounce back here. And I'm looking at this spread. Mississippi State's only going to be dogs by 2 points at home. I like Kentucky at least 4 here. I want to see your thoughts.
Yeah, this is my favorite one we've talked about so far, is which one I'd most want to bet. I like Kentucky. I think that Mississippi State's in a tough spot here after that overtime loss to LSU in a game that they should have won. Look, Mississippi State's a good team, but they're not Kentucky. I mean, there's a pretty clear class difference here between these two teams as far as talent. And I like Mississippi State. I like Ben Howland is a pretty good coach there. They're not on the same level, though. And one thing that really concerns me a lot about Mississippi State in this game, they've struggled defensive rebound-wise. And Kentucky really crashes the boards, second in offensive rebounding percentage in the country. I think they're going to get a lot of second chances here. You know, they're shooting better than they were. And if they miss, they have a good chance of getting a lot of them back. I'm concerned what this line's going to be. I think that we probably will not be able to get Kentucky -2. They've played too well here of late. I like it even a little higher than that. But, you know, I think that it's going to remain to be seen how long Kentucky can be undervalued. They are still Kentucky. They're a big name. Everybody's paying attention now, and they've been good here of late. So I want to see what kind of number we get. But no way would I take it, Mississippi State. I don't really even have any lean on the total. I guess if I was forced to play, I'd probably take the under based on the fact that Kentucky is not playing that fast here. They're 218th in tempo in the country. And they're playing some great defense, like I said. So I definitely like Kentucky here. No way I could bet the other side. And Kentucky might be a bet of mine if the price is good enough.
Love it. If you like Kentucky, get it very early. And if you don't get it early enough, you might want to wait for some buyback here for the home dog. Because, yeah, I think Kentucky's going to be that thing's just going to go up and up, right? Moving on to the Pac-12, my man, a team that we both love. The Washington Huskies been under the radar. They're going to be playing ASU. ASU is probably going to be a dog by a point or so, I think. Over-under should be about 139. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, let's see how Washington does against Arizona. That's a game here on Thursday night. You know, Washington, this is not a really easy scheduling spot for Washington, playing Arizona and Arizona State close together. I would say that, you know, schedule spot wise is a better spot for Arizona State. As far as which team I like better and who I trust more, I trust Washington more. I think that Arizona State's one of those teams that, you know, they can pull off that huge win. You're like, wow, how did they do that? And then they lose a game that you're just really confused as to what just happened. I think consistency wise, Washington's the team I'd want to back. I did look up the stats here on this before the show here. Arizona State's also worse against the zone than they are against man. And that concerns me quite a bit for Arizona State, because this is going to be a really good zone defense here from Washington. So kind of depending on results right before this game, I would lean toward Washington, especially if they lose to Arizona. So let's see what happens in that game. But I would lean toward Washington because I trust them more. I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, I think they have a massive coaching advantage, but I do think I would pick Hopkins as far as the better coach here. And Washington's a team that, you know, when you play that good a defense, you're always in the game. And, Arizona State, a team that I don't really trust that much. So my lean here would be Washington.
Yeah, this game, and I brought this up because of Washington versus ASU, but to be honest with you, it's not one of my favorite games to bet, I don't think. I was really curious to hear your take on that, and I think we're kind of on the same page here. ASU 7-5 against the spread at home. Washington's a wonderful 5-1 against the spread on the road. The Huskies haven't even lost a Pac-12 game.
you know, they're great. They've been flying under the radar. I think they're still a little bit under the radar, but it's all going to come down to how they play against Arizona. Arizona's getting a guy back. We're recording on Thursday here, and on Thursday night they both play. So, you know, the fact that they're both playing on Thursday night and they have to turn around and play on Saturday kind of makes me look at the under anyway. I would wonder how tired they are from these big games that they're playing. Of course, ASU's got the easier game against Washington State, but this game's going to really tell me if Washington blows out Arizona. I'm really going to lean towards Arizona State on their second road game here. ASU is kind of good at finding those spots, so we'll see what happens. Right. Let's move on to probably the biggest game of the week here: Duke versus Virginia. Virginia in a revenge spot. We saw that game. I was on Virginia, and I was thinking the gods, they made that meaningless two-point basket for me to cover that spread. Yep. Duke had a ton of free throws that game. Both teams didn't shoot great by any means. But, you know, if you look at Bartorvik, KenPom, you know, they got Virginia by 5 or 6 points. I'm not so sure if I agree with that one. I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I couldn't lay 5 or 6 points with Virginia here. I think, you know, I would think Virginia wins more times than not in this spot, but I can't lay that many points with a team that plays that slowly against a Duke team that's obviously a tremendous team. I remember that first game pretty well. I remember that quote unquote meaningless last shot. And I remember watching that one, and my family was right there, and I was like, oh, right at the end. I didn't even have the game, but you know, there's my son who's 5 years old wondering why it was so important. And he said, they still lost. And I'm like, I know.
Of course.
But it's funny to see other people's reaction as you're thinking this is a massive shot. But, you know, Virginia, to me, the key in that first game was Duke got to the line 31 times. You know, Duke got quite a few offensive rebounds in that game. They can't get 10 offensive rebounds again. They can't get to the line 31 times again. I don't think they will. They were only 18 of 31 from the line, but that was still 7 more points from the line than Virginia got. And hey, that was the difference in the game. I will say Jones is playing for Duke in this game. He didn't play in the first game. That's certainly a positive for Duke. To me, the only way I could play this game is the under. I sound like a broken record saying the only way I could play this game is the under on quite a few of these games.
Well, that's why I picked them for you, Kyle.
Right. Well, I'm kind of known as, you know, I pick more unders than I do overs, but certainly I pick overs when I think there's value there. I think that, you know, usually when you look at the end of the season, more times than not, the under is cashed a little bit more than the over just because the public likes the over so much. And I'll be honest, I don't love just sitting there and watching a bet on the under because you're rooting for just them to play slow and miss a bunch of shots. But, you know, I'm just trying to cash as many tickets as I can. I will say the first game was 63 possessions. You know, so Virginia got their tempo that they wanted in that game. Are they going to be able to get the tempo again? Or is Jones going to help Duke push the tempo in this game? I think that's really the key to this game. It's a clash of styles. Who gets their way? I think Virginia probably wins this game, but like you alluded to there at the beginning, I wouldn't be interested in laying 5 or 6 points.
No, I absolutely. And Virginia gets the tempo from just playing fantastic defense, you know, guarding every right. shot, swatting the ball, frustrating the team. The team just kind of forced to slow down to kind of, you know, get their grounds a little bit. You know, I'll tell you this, is Ty Jerome, is he going to play this game for Virginia? Because he played last time and he's pretty injured. As a matter of fact, I think he's kind of more towards the doubtful side here. So that's another key thing that you have to keep your eyes on when this line comes out. I don't know where the bookmakers are going to make this. They'd be smart if they made it a 2 or a 3. But, you know, like I said with Bartorvik and KenPom, if they just go by their formulas, you better hit Duke right away here. I like the dog. I like Duke all the way down to about 2 points myself, 2, 2.5. And then if it's lower than that, then I have to check the injury report and possibly not even make a play or bet right before the game. But this is game watch. We're going to see how Duke handles some of that adversity of being on the road.
I am so excited for this game. So this is possibly a preview to a Final Four game as well. So very, very excited for that one, man. And I appreciate you breaking that down. It definitely gave you a lot of games that kind of veered towards the under there. Maybe we'll switch it up a little bit next time, and I'll throw like, you know, Iowa versus like a, well, if they played like Eastern Kentucky or something. So
there you go.
Well, well, I kept you long enough, my man. Really, really happy you broke some of these games down. Do you have any a free play for our listeners out there?
I'll tell you what, I've got one for Saturday. We don't know what the line is yet, but you know, I'm gonna lay the points here as far as a free play with Buffalo. You talked about Buffalo earlier. Buffalo lost their last game to Bowling Green on the road. That was February 1st. Then their next game is February 9th. So they have 8 days between games. They get to think about the fact that they just lost. They're behind Bowling Green in the standings. I think this is a good spot that Buffalo could put it on Central Michigan pretty well. I will say also I lean to the over in this game. So here's my first over lean of the show. I would say that Central Michigan really likes to push the tempo. Buffalo is going to run with anybody. They won't slow the game down. I think Buffalo, though, is just so much better on defense than is Central Michigan that you could see a pretty big margin in this game. So, you know, KenPom has by 15. If Buffalo is laying 15, I would take Buffalo. I think this is a pretty good blowout situation.
Love it, man. And Buffalo is definitely one of my teams that I've been rooting for in football and also in basketball. How can our listeners benefit from your plays this weekend?
Well, a couple ways. You can head over to huntersportspicks.com, sign up for the free picks newsletter if you haven't already. Those free picks have done well. I'm also running some contests here. I'm going to have one coming up really soon to where you can win cash prizes or free premium plays, and those are free contests. You don't have to do anything, no purchase necessary. So check that out over there at huntersportspicks.com. And also I've got a exclusive special here for your listeners for $399 for the rest of the season for college basketball. 69-49 so far this year in college basketball. So it's been a really good college basketball season for me so far. We look to try to keep that momentum going, and I'll get you that special. You can message me on Twitter at Kyle Hunter Picks or Kyle@huntersportspicks.com.
That is incredible. 69-49, my man. Wow. What's that at? That's at 59% about. That is excellent. You are having a fantastic year. Well, thanks again, Kyle. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on and educate us, my man. If you have any questions, please feel free to tweet Kyle at Kyle Hunter Picks. Have a great weekend, Kyle, and enjoy the games.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
All right, now I'd like to welcome back a longtime contributor to the Odds Breakers, our Big E specialist, Mr. Dan Everett. You can follow him on Twitter at DEdgeSportPicks. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Kiev. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Just watching this last Iowa bet go to hell. Fall City might actually help me. 73-70 here. We'll see. Thank you, Romeo Langford, for making that last three-pointer with 21 seconds left. But good day so far. But we have a hell of a weekend, don't we? We have some pretty great games.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good for the Big East this weekend.
My man, I wish I could have had you on earlier. The Big East is so interesting this year. You know, you got, I think, two teams at the top, and they're all, and the rest of them are kind of all just, you know, right there. You know, is that how you look at it? How do you rank these teams?
Yeah, right now I kind of have the top three and then everybody else. So right now you're looking at Villanova, which is the slam dunk number one. They've just been tearing it up pretty much all year. After their few early losses, they really turned it on. And then you have Marquette following them, and then St. John's following Marquette at number three. And then you kind of get into the middle of the Big East where everything can be debated as much as you want. The way I have it shake out is Georgetown 4, Butler 5, Seton Hall, DePaul, Creighton, Providence, and then Xavier.
Yeah, Xavier. You know, Xavier, when the Badgers beat him this year, I was pretty happy. I was like, ooh, that's going to be a quality win. No, it's not a quality win anymore.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they've been on a, God, where are they on KenPom even? 102. That's not terrible. But, you know, if you look at St. John's getting smoked by Duke like that, that hurt. And, yeah. That hurt. And it's hard to play at Cameron Indoor. And there's a lot going against you, it seems, when you step into that facility. But, you know, I St. John's, then they come back and, you know, take care of Howard at Marquette. You know, they shut him down and, you know, another big win for them. So St. John's just kind of moving along just fine here. Is there any sleeper teams in the Big 12 that you like with some good odds to make the tournament yet? You know, you don't think they're going to make the Final Four besides maybe Nova.
Yeah, I mean, Villanova and Marquette are your deeper run teams. St. John's, I think they can get through a few runs. Being third in the Big East, they're not really a sleeper. Georgetown, I'm not liking a whole lot once it comes to tournament time. Patrick Ewing seems to underperform as a coach for them, and they just try to outscore everybody and don't play defense, which kind of really hurts them, especially once it comes to tournament time. I mean, the best value that you probably get at this point would either be with Butler or DePaul. I think DePaul can sneak into the tournament. They can probably sneak by a round or two maybe, and probably have some pretty long odds at actually winning the tournament. So you can probably take a future on them and hedge them out a little bit in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, it's so hard for I don't see a ton of teams making it here. And the problem with Georgetown, maybe four. I'm almost seeing three. The problem with Georgetown is they don't have any non-conference wins that are worth a damn. They lost to Syracuse. Their best non-conference win was Illinois or Liberty, and, you know, and the rest of them are just really low. And the weird thing is that you have Seton Hall that has a big win, and I think it was against Kentucky. You know, and they're not doing that well, and they're not clearly not as good as, you know, St. John's or Georgetown, but they might get in just because of that Kentucky win. They won it against Miami. They won it against Maryland. So that's the weird thing. You might have the sixth best team get in, but I don't see Seton Hall doing a whole lot, right? So
no, definitely not.
So I think it's just really interesting. I love what Marquette's done. I still think there's some value on them. I took them earlier this year at 100-1 to win it all, so I can make money off that ticket at week two or three or Sweet 16. You probably want to start hedging that one, but Marquette, there's some good value on them, and I still think you might be able to find some good value there. But looking at Seton Hall, their last eight games, they've only won two, you know. So they need to step it up here a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. If they want any chance of making it, they have a pretty steep uphill run against them to get there.
Well, my man, Iowa just got to 147, my total. Well, that is beautiful. 6 seconds left, so at least tied it. Let's move in some Big East games for this weekend, and there is some very good ones, man. Where do you want to start?
Start with the one that I have lowest on my list with DePaul at Xavier. I think you're going to get a little bit of value on DePaul here. I have the power ratings have Xavier favored by 4 points, and I think that's just too much for the home team, even though they are dead last in the Big East. DePaul can get on a good run, and they've hung tough with a lot of the better teams in the Big East this year, so if you can get them at plus points, I think that's the place I'm going to go for that game.
Yeah, DePaul is, for some reason, Xavier's higher than DePaul and KenPom by a few marks. I don't know why that is. They do have it as everything that I looked at has DePaul dogs by four, just like you said. But I think DePaul is probably the only way I would look here. Xavier is a favorite. Ugh, that doesn't look like anything that anybody's going to be backing, right?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't even touch that.
I'm a little bit impressed with DePaul this year. I like their wins against St. John's, two wins against Seton Hall. They kept it, you know, respectable against Marquette. You know, they beat Penn State this year. I do like what, you know, this is a step up for DePaul. So it's nice not to see them in the bottom of the barrel this year for sure, my man. What do we have next?
Next, I have Providence at St. John's. This one I have at about 10 points with St. John's favored. Providence to have any chance in this one. I think they need to take it a slower paced game. Providence has only really scored in the low to mid 60s their past 3 to 4 games, and they're going to need to play some defense against St. John's. I don't think they get it done there, so I would lean St. John's up to about a favorite of 10. I'd like a little bit more on this game is probably the under. I see the total somewhere in the low to mid 140s. And if St. John's can hold Providence down to about 60 points, even if they get into the 70s and 80s, I still think this shakes out a little bit under 140 points. So that's probably the better play that I'm leaning towards with that one.
Yeah, I see this at 143 and 9 points favorite for St. John's here. For Providence, they're a weird team. They step up big sometimes. Providence has actually hasn't really impressed. And you're right, they're the slowest team in the Big East. So the under probably, if they can control the pace at home, it might make a little bit of sense to me. But St. John's, what I hope is that they kind of run the, you know, jump the team. And then they, you know, they're up by 10, 15, and then they slow it down, right? And then I think you have a shot at the under, my man. Let's go right to the biggest game then. Who do we have here? Marquette against Villanova?
Yep, Villanova goes to Marquette. I have this one right around a pick 'em. I don't know where the books have this at one yet. I haven't really looked at it.
They have Marquette favored by 1 or 2. It looks like, and that's the lines aren't out. These are look ads, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, I can't take Marquette as a favorite. So, and I'm not stepping in front of Jay Wright and this Villanova team. They haven't overwhelmed a lot of teams this year, but they've gotten it done when they've had to. Marquette's coming off the heartbreaking loss to St. John's. Villanova's coming off an overtime victory against Creighton that had a little bit of dispute in there. I like Nova in this one, especially if you're getting points.
Yeah, Nova is actually the slowest team. Providence is second. You should be getting 1 or 2 points with Nova here. It's really interesting. Marquette probably circled this game, and maybe that's why they just lost to St. John's. I don't know. But, God, this is going to be the game that's worth watching to me. With the way Marquette plays, they're you know, a little bit up-tempo. In conference, they're at 71 plays per game. Non-conference, they're 69.7. So it looks like they speed it up in the conference. Then you have Nova that actually is, you know, really slow, ranking 344th on KenPom. But they do have that solid defense. They've been stuffing teams. You know, Villanova hasn't lost since Kansas, man. And that was with Azubuike with Kansas, you know.
Right.
And they've just have been on an absolute tear through the Big East since then. But they haven't faced a team as hard as Marquette since Kansas. So this is going to be an extremely good game, in my opinion. Them coming off the overtime game makes me look towards Marquette a little bit. I hope Nova comes out as a pick 'em or favored, because then I might want to take a look at Marquette myself. I just do not know what to do with the pace here. I almost think it's under or nothing, but that's what I'm looking at here. So do you want to recap some of these games?
I think right now I'm going to play the Providence and St. John's under. I'm going to play Nova if they're getting points. If it comes out pick 'em or plus side on Marquette, I may either pass on that one or sway a little bit towards the home dog and Marquette, since we've seen what the slight home dogs and slight home favorites have done this year. But if you're getting more than 2 points with Nova, that's definitely the way I'm going to go with that one. And then DePaul and Xavier, I'm definitely taking the DePaul side on that, getting 4 points.
All right, my man. Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for chiming in here and coming back. I know you're a busy man, and you know, huge slate this weekend. So I'll be tweeting back and forth with you this weekend, and really appreciate you coming on again, Dan.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, and that is Dan from D Edge Sports Picks. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. If you want us to handicap any games, please tweet us at The Oddsbreakers. Have a great weekend. Go get some winners.